This is WordPress Weekly, your source for the latest news, plugins, and interviews with influential leaders in the WordPress community. Here's your hosts, Jeff Chandler and Marcus Couch.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 226 of WordPress Weekly for Wednesday, March 16th, 2016. I'm your host, Jeff Chandler, joined by Marcus Couch. And Marcus, what's happening, my man?
Oh, I've been doing a lot of projects this week and trying to adjust to daylight savings time.
Oh, shift. Yes.
I love that it's 6:30 at night out and it's light. It's perfect. So I've had a pretty good week.
Yeah, I don't understand what all the hatred is towards. Maybe it's just the nature of the time change itself, but I very much enjoy grilling at 7 o'clock and it's still light out. And there's more daylight yet to come.
Yeah, it's really nice. So especially for, for me, for being a night owl and working at night, it's like it's longer time you can go out and do stuff before you come back and start working again. So it's nice.
So last week on last week's episode, 225, we interviewed Scott Kingsley Clark, and it turned out to be a great interview.
Yes.
Some high-level stuff, but generally I think we did a good job overall trying to explain it. So people knew what it was we were talking about and could understand the impact that the Fields API is going to have in WordPress when it's finished and it gets merged into core. Well, we did have some feedback on that episode where Terrence says that we did a great podcast, and he's a bit like me with pods where he's fascinated by it, but for some reason was never able to actually understand it or why the fascination. So hopefully the podcast helped him out a bit. And we also had some feedback by David McCann, who says we had a nice conversation and that he has a much better understanding of the Fields API after listening to the show. So, Marcus, mission accomplished, at least for David.
Absolutely. Scott Kingsley Clark should maybe think about doing the Pods cast show.
There you go. That didn't even cross my mind until you just said it, but man, yeah. What it makes perfect sense.
So he could explain what's happening, maybe. I don't know.
In the Pods universe. And by the way, speaking of Scott Kingsley Clark, guess what? Today is his birthday.
Oh, all right. Happy birthday, buddy.
So happy birthday. We'd sing you a song, but then we'd probably get a copyright notice.
No, it's free to use now. We can.
Oh, is it now? It changed. Yes. Mm-hmm. All right. Phew. Thank goodness. So happy birthday, Scott. Hope your day was memorable and enjoyable.
Definitely.
And so we got a couple of things we want to get to this week. We want to get you updated on all things WordPress, and I'll just give you a quick update on the progress of WordPress 4.5. I attended the developer meeting today, and it looks like it's on track for beta 4 today or tomorrow, and then release candidate 1 is scheduled to ship out next Wednesday, so we're getting closer and closer to the launch date in April of WordPress 4.5, and everybody will be able to check out the features we've already mentioned on the show, such as responsive previews and customizer, the enhancements to the link modal, and what else did I? Oh, I did a article about comment moderation changes. Marcus, when you get an email that says a comment is pending moderation, in the bottom you'll have a couple of different links where you can trash it or you can approve it, and if you click on one of those links, you see it takes you to a page in the back end of WordPress. Well, those pages have gone through some user experience enhancements where depending on the formatting or HTML used within the comment, you'll see the actual formatting, you know, how the comment's supposed to be, as long as it's not, you know, if they're using H2 tags, which I don't know why they would be using those in comments, but those are stripped out by WordPress. But if they're using standard tags that are allowed, such as code, pre, bold, italicized, you'll see the comment how it is on the back end. And it used to be just one big blob of text. Well, now it'll be a lot easier to see how the context of the comment now from the back end of WordPress. And they also added this nifty edit link. So if you want to edit the comment from that page, there's a link there to take you to the edit comment page so you can edit the comment before you approve it. So all those changes are nice because I moderate comments on a routine basis. So I'm looking forward to that. And overall, there's going to be some improvements to image handling and built on top of the responsive images support that was added to WordPress 4.4. So overall, this is looking like a solid release. To be honest, there's nothing in this release that I'm gaga over that I'm really excited about. I mean, we were kind of supposed to have the WordPress REST API endpoints of 4.5, but that's definitely not going to happen. Maybe for 4.6, but who knows, maybe 4.7, the way things are going. They just needed some more time to iron some things out and to question whether the direction they're heading in is the one they should pursue.
I have a suggestion for 4.6.
Oh, what is it?
I had a project this week that involved the media library and 6,000 images.
Oh, boy, I bet you that was fun.
We need to be able to tag images as we upload them. So if I'm uploading 10 images and I say bananas, then I can go into the search and just type, you know, hashtag bananas, and all of those images come up. That's what I want.
Overall, there needs to be an organizational upgrade to the way the media library is, where we can tag images, we can categorize images, and we could do all kinds of different things to images, two or three different things, where it makes it easier to find. Because man, when you have 6,000 images and you're just searching based on, I don't know, maybe the caption or the title or the alt tags, you know, if you don't remember, you know, what that image is called, or you know, you can't remember what to search for, yeah, good luck finding that image.
Yeah, and these were people's faces for trade shows and things like that.
So, wow. So I mean, how would you? So I guess, yeah. And part of the issue there, I guess, would be that the naming scheme of the images. So I imagine
that was fine. So I had to, you know, I could search the individual's name, but you know, you type John and there's 70 of them.
There's 70 Johns. And what if you're uploading 10 images of people and they're with, but the organization is 70, but you know, these 10 people are in a specific team. Wouldn't it be nice to tag them? Use the team name for the tag, and then
the company they work for, their specialty, their title, their executive level.
So what we need is more opportunities to apply more metadata to the images is what we need.
Yes, definitely.
To be able to search for them.
And to be able to call it up like that, and almost to be able to search it in maybe a tree or a directory type structure that's maybe folder based or something like that, and make it to where we can move it around from pending to archive or whatever in terms of the tags.
Well, so you had that kind of project. Did you, obviously, if WordPress doesn't handle that organization out of the box, did you find any plugins that get you most of the way there?
No, I just used Excel and searched.
Oh my goodness. Man, the plugin guru could not find one to solve this problem. It's
pointless to do that because this project has to be portable, and these were done in different instances in terms of some of it was online store, some of it was tickets, some of it was QR codes, brochures, PDFs, all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's just varied. It just was, I can't take it by just file type and by when it was uploaded. That just doesn't make sense when I've got to upload 1,000 images today.
I hear you, and I'll just say that your request is a common one and something that's been requested for I don't know how many years now. It's just that there hasn't been anyone or a group of people willing to take on that initiative. So who knows? Maybe we'll see something done in 4.6, or maybe when the time to chat comes around for what people would like to see in 4.6, maybe you could post on the Make blog in the comments, say, I want better organizational tools for images. We'll see if somebody can put them up.
Imagine if on your iPhone or whatever device you have, you had the same capacity of your photos that the WordPress media library does. You'd throw your phone in the garbage. There's no way. You wouldn't live with that. When did you take this picture? I don't know. So I will definitely contribute to that, but I just wanted to bring that up. It was kind of a sore point that I've had to deal with this week. And like I said, I had to do it manually.
Man, I don't even, you can't even search, you can't even name photos on the iPhone. It's just month, year, day. And there's no really easy, like if I type in food, and nothing shows up because you can't apply any of that data to the images.
It's true.
So it might be even worse than the media library.
Yeah, a bad example.
But I'm not throwing my phone in the garbage.
No.
not doing that. All right. So we got Marcus's feature request in for 4.6.
Come on, guys.
I want to start off this week's show talking about what I consider an important and somewhat serious topic, and that is this thing called burnout. Now, according to Merriam-Webster, the online dictionary, burnout is defined as the condition of someone who has become very physically and emotionally tired after doing a difficult job for a long time. And I know from experience that once burnout sets in, it's pretty tough to recover without just giving up and avoiding the job completely. Well, Drew James, who is a semi-friend of the show, who came on especially after he came on a couple episodes ago telling us about his experience leading the WordPress 4.2 release cycle and what it's like to document WordPress. And he published a story where he pretty much shared his experience of the last 7 or 8 months and pretty much describes how contributing to WordPress full-time led to burnout. So a lot of great things he mentioned were, one of the things, Marcus, that's important to sort of prevent or avoid burnout is recognizing the signs. And I guess some of the signs would be you've lost your passion. You don't want to have anything to do with that job anymore. You're just tired. You're ready for a change. You want to do something completely different. I think all those are pretty good signs relating to burnout. And I guess after working on the project for 7 months and doing it 100%, actually during that 7 month period, he burned out 3 different times. And I think finally he just realized that he had to move on. He had to do something to change what was going on. And eventually he decided to do something new, and he is no longer working at 10Up, which he used to work for, the company he used to work for. He's now working for Pippin Williamson of Easy Digital Downloads. He's going to be focusing on products now. And although Drew is going to be – he's still going to contribute to WordPress, but it's going to be in a more limited role as he focuses on products. So it's going to allow him to – really back off on the thing that was causing him to get burned out and allow him to reestablish maybe the feelings or the joy that there is when you contribute back to WordPress. And I thought this was just a great post. I think it's a lot of WordPress core developers sometimes can fall into the same boat. And Marcus, has there been something, a job or an activity that you've just done time and time and time again, and then eventually you just, something, maybe it was something you enjoyed and then you just don't want to do it anymore. You're just burned out. You're sick of it.
Yes, but I found the cure for that.
Which is?
Charge more.
Yeah, and then the money makes it worth it, huh?
You ain't kidding. Then you become addicted to it, which is another one of the topics that came across this week from Matt Mullenweg.
Oh, no. Yeah, based on that, he mentioned in an old article about addiction. Did you? What did you take away from there?
I think I might have it.
And what would you be addicted to? Charging more?
That too, yeah. But just, I guess, overwork or,
You're addicted to getting things
spending
done.
Spending too much time in front of the screen.
Yeah, I mean, I've been dealing with some addiction things lately, like a certain video game I've been playing a lot. And I love playing it because it frees my mind and I can zone out while I'm playing it and I enjoy it, but it's like, I've been playing it way too much and it's sort of distracting me from doing some of my work and some other things I need to get done. So, I'm trying to deal with that. And if it's not my phone, it's this, if it's not that, it's this. And it's one thing after another where, you just happen to hit something that makes you feel good or you get that relaxed notion. You can't stop. You want more of it. although I don't know what kind of feelings you're getting from charging more. I mean, are you getting that? Well, what do they call that? That chemical in the brain that makes you feel good that leads to addiction?
Endorphin?
Yeah, endorphins. You're getting those every time you raise the prices, you're getting endorphins in your brain or something.
Yeah, every time they pay and I don't have to remind them. That's
yeah, there you go. So just a great post by James. And I asked some people on the post, on the tavern, to give us some advice on how they deal with or avoid burnout. And Omar Usman says that the only way is to take a step back, forget the job, find something new, or just relax for a while. But the thing I have about that, Marcus, is what if you take a break and you step back and then, you know, you wait until you start missing it in order to go back, but then you end up not missing it. I think that's a sign. You should really pay attention to that and realize that if that's the way you're feeling, you should either do whatever you can to regenerate that interest in the job or really just look into doing something completely different.
Well, you've got to look at...
There's no sense in continuing to put yourself in a situation that you can't do it. I mean, it ruins you, and it's like going against the grain for hours and hours every day.
Yeah, you've got to really look at what your core specialties are and what it is that you enjoy doing, and then write down, you know, that aspect, and then write down what you hate about this. You know, maybe it's you don't like the sales aspect of it or bill collection of it or any of those things. Maybe you don't like to code, but you love to design and do layout and functionalities. And in that instance, then, you know, maybe consider outsourcing that half so you don't get burned out and do the part that you really like doing and work with somebody on the other end that can do those things. And then you start to get joy out of it based on the teamwork that you have with that other person and delivering a job well done, either to yourself or to a client.
Yeah, so I think the moral of the story is if you're starting to feel burnt out, it's time for a change, and it's up to you to figure out what that change should be. Now, it could be a different job. It could be transferring to a different team or focusing on something else within that job. But, you know, you don't have to stay. Well, most of us tech workers, distributed workers, you know, you don't have to stay within this box. You can, as a, you know, distributed workers have some control over what it is they do for a living. So, you know, don't feel like you're stuck.
And I remember you telling me of a conversation that you had privately with Matt Mullenweg about kind of what do you do to kind of stay in the mindset or, you know, not get burned out. And one of the things I remember him telling you was just pick up your computer and go into a different room.
Right? Yeah. Just for a change of scenery.
Yeah. Go to Starbucks or Panera's or wherever you can, you know, for just an hour or whatever you got to do.
And I will say that does work for me. Like I'll go to my favorite place where that serves my favorite beer on tap. I'll bring my MacBook Pro and I'll work from their Wi-Fi, and it's right next to the tracks, and I enjoy watching trains. So it's like the best of both worlds. And I'm in Zen mode, man, when I'm working from that location. And I just need to figure out a way to get out there more instead of staying within this room in my home.
Yeah. You were even productive in my back patio overlooking the cloudy mountain.
Well, you know, it's all those hummingbirds. I love hummingbirds. So that mm-hmm. helped. That helped.
Yeah.
that and the hospitality from the couch household. That was wonderful.
There you go.
Chips, sauce, anything else you need, Jeff? Yeah, beer. Oh, I got that too.
I got stocked.
That was awesome.
I got a bigger fridge for this time too.
So. Awesome. So anybody interested in learning how WordPress is translated, or maybe you just want to learn how to translate some plugins and themes? Well, there's a pretty cool day set for April 24th. It's called WordPress Global Translations Day, where the WordPress Polyglots team is planning the event, and it's going to span every time zone around the globe. So this is cool. It's a worldwide event, and it will start at dawn in the east, end in the west. And in addition to translating strings, organizers are looking to grow the teams, educate people, and just try and get more people involved, get more people contributing to WordPress this way. And this is, in fact, there's a lot of languages out there that could use your help. You know, for example, you know, Urdu and languages I can't even pronounce. WordPress is in a lot of languages. And one of the cool things I learned about all these different languages is some of these ones that exist, I had no idea. I mean, there's just a ton of them, and they need your help. on translating strings for WordPress. And once a package of WordPress gets 100% translated, then that team can focus on plugins and themes to get them to match up to that locale. So just an overall event. Again, it's going to be on April 24th. If you're interested, you can go on Slack, the WordPress Slack, and join the Polyglot channel. And that's where everybody there is involved, all the team members, and you can ask questions. And there's also a translations team page, and that's on make.wordpress.org/polyglots. And, of course, we'll have links to this post and information in the show notes. But this is the second sort of day that where the WordPress team is trying to gather a bunch of people from around the world to contribute to a certain part of the WordPress core project. I think it was February where it was support. And that was really cool because I think over throughout that weekend, there was 800 support threads answered or responded to by people partaking in that event. And the page that shows zero responses to threads went from like 27 down to 7. It was like amazing. So it had a huge impact for the support forums over that weekend. So just a cool outreach program. And I can't wait to see the others that come later this year for WordPress. It gives people an opportunity to really get involved.
Yeah, let me ask you something. How do I put this? If you had the opportunity to get 100% adoption of every language on the planet of one plugin, what would it be? So that everybody could use it.
No, honestly, I'd say Akismet. I'd say Akismet because it has the largest, I think it has the largest impact of protecting your site from spam. It may not be the best, you know, contrary to what some may believe, but I mean, for me, it works just fine. It protects my site from spam because without some sort of anti-spam plugin, and you know, I picked Akismet. Mm-hmm. You don't want to run a site without comment blocking, if comments are turned on, without spam blocking.
Hmm.
Spam protection.
That'd be my choice. Pick. Interesting choice. Mine would be WooCommerce.
Really?
Think of it. You could, you're generating global commerce, right? You're enabling everybody to start selling every kind of business around there. So, you know, you're talking a million businesses from China, you know, potentially, and all that. It's pretty, I don't know. It wouldn't be something like Yoast. I mean, who knows how Chinese search engines work? If that stuff even exists as far as SEO, who knows?
That's right. But I like your choice. I like the reasoning behind it. It makes complete and total sense. You know, give it a free translated option to start your own business or to sell some things from your website. I mean, that makes sense to me. I wonder how much of an economy booster that would be.
I don't know. I've been doing a lot of commerce stuff, and I even have a lot of commerce plugins to talk about here tonight. So, I just been involved in WooCommerce really heavy since they were acquired by Automattic, and I've used it obviously before, but now I've been using it to integrate actually into Infusionsoft and doing other things. So it's pretty remarkable, and that's why I think it would make the biggest impact.
So tickets have gone on sale for WordCamp Jacksonville, Florida, and unbeknownst to me, Jacksonville is the highest populated city in the state of Florida. First guess would have been Miami, but it's Jacksonville.
Me too.
Florida hosts some pretty cool WordCamps. Of course, Miami, Orlando, Tampa Bay, and now Jacksonville is going to be added to the mix. In fact, they have a population that's more than 800,000, actually. The event will be held April 16th and 17th, so that's next month. They're looking for 250 attendees. The event's going to take place in northern Florida, and they've already introduced the first round of speakers. They're still looking for some volunteers and sponsors. Now, tickets went on sale on March 14th. And I believe there's still some available. So if you're in the Florida area, you want to get away and go somewhere warm for a couple of days, Jacksonville seems like the place to be. You can go there. So congrats to the organizing teams down there who looks like they got together at WordCamp Miami was talking amongst themselves and said, you know, we'd like to have a WordCamp in Northern Florida around by us. And so a couple of the people got together, and next thing you know, boom, they made it happen.
It seems like it's too fast too soon, you know? It's like, make that announcement, but then like, all right, it's in 4 weeks. What? You know, it's like, it seems like it's too quick.
Well, it may be too quick, but I mean, if we're hoping that most of the people there are from local in the area, maybe it's just right.
That's true. I mean, every WordCamp sells out in 20 seconds anyway, so what's it matter?
So congrats to those guys, and WordCamp Jacksonville is probably going to be a great time.
Wish so, Marcus, yeah.
So today, I should start by saying a few weeks ago, I submitted the Tavern website to the Apple News Publisher system. They have a system mm-hmm. where you could submit your sites, and I figured, oh, what the hell, submit the Tavern, see what happens. So, you know, I got to describe my channel ID and my content, what it's all about. Well, it turns out that it was either today or yesterday, I think it was today, where Apple News Publisher, they've sort of opened up the system to all kinds of publishers. I mean, big, small, doesn't matter now. Back in the beginning when it launched in September of last year, only large publishers were a part of it, you know, like the New York Times, CNN. I think just to sort of beta test and get it off the ground as a launch product. But now I received an email today that the Tavern was approved. So now WordPress Tavern is, you can access WP Tavern, its channel, from within the news publisher app on an iOS 9 powered device. So we're talking about iPads, iPhones, and iPod touches. Now you can't access it from, there's no news publisher app on the MacBook. I don't understand why that is. Maybe because it's not running iOS, but I submitted the site today. I described the process on wptavern.com, and it's pretty nifty. I don't know if you can sort of submit your site a couple different ways, or push content through the service a couple different ways. You can either push your RSS feed, just plain Jane, through the service. You can create content. There's actually a content creation editor within the news publisher app, or you can connect a CMS like WordPress using a plugin to their API, and then you automatically push stuff into the news app, which is what I chose to do. And so the plugin is pretty cool. So I just connected it using the API keys. I can configure which post types I want to publish to the app. Also, there's different options where I could change the formatting on how it looks. So there's all kinds of different things there. Unfortunately, it looks like I have to publish a post first. And once the first post is published, the other ones will publish automatically. So I'm waiting on the first post to be approved, and that's why you don't see any content if you subscribe to the site on the news publisher app. But at some point, either this week or by the time next week comes around, it better be by next week. I don't know why it would take so long. You should start seeing existing content and new content show up in the news publisher app. So, Marcus, the question is, going through all this hassle, is it worth signing up to news publisher? And apparently, based on some numbers, the service has more than 40 million users, according to Apple, when they announced the numbers last year or a couple weeks ago. But I'm going to take a look at the analytics dashboard that they give publishers, and I'm going to take a look and see how many people are subscribing, how many people are reading, because there are a lot of people out there who read the Tavern on mobile devices, and maybe they'll pick up the news publisher app. Maybe they'll read it that way instead of maybe a typical RSS feed, RSS reader, which I still use on the iPhone. But then again, you know, sometimes readers can unpredictably render your content to the point where it makes it difficult to read, or it just doesn't work. So at least by using the news publisher app, Apple will automatically change your content around so it looks great on their mobile devices, on their iOS 9 powered devices. So that's one of the main benefits of using the service.
Well, that, and we've been talking recently about AMP compliance, and what's to say that a service like that couldn't pick up AMP once 1 or 2 years is down the road and everybody starts to become AMP compliant in terms of repurposing that content?
Right. So I guess there was a comparison where AMP, you look at AMP and it's built more on the open web, and you look at this news publisher app and you're sort of tying yourself into the Apple ecosystem. So it's closed versus open right now.
Yeah. So, but there are a lot of things, and I've been kind of prodding you. I think you were still on your hiatus at the time, but we can also get the podcast in Spotify and Google Play and all that kind of stuff. So we should definitely branch out to all those areas.
Well, here's the thing I learned about Spotify is they made a similar announcement to Apple with their news publisher app. Spotify announced that they were going to start publishing snippets of content from videos and introducing podcasts, but the podcasts were going to be from big media partners. So we're talking about the big boys, like the CBSs and the major news, major media outlets. The little guys like this show, apparently were not going to be able to just, you know, not everybody was going to be able to submit their show to Spotify. Now, I did learn that Libsyn, which is, I think, a podcast network, they were an approved partner. And if you host or do your podcast on Libsyn, you could ask them to add your show to their list so that it can be picked up on Spotify. But we don't use Libsyn. This is just, we use iTunes and distribute it that way. And we're on Stitcher Radio. So I looked into it. We're not going to be able to do Spotify right now unless things change and they open it up to all publishers. I'll submit the site through there or the podcast through there. But until then, it's just iTunes and Stitcher for us.
Okie doke. Sounds good. We got plenty of people that listen that way as well.
You know, but I got to imagine after a period of time, if they're noticing that, you know, people are exhausting their options or they're requesting a more variety from the podcast, then I can see Spotify sort of opening up and saying, okay, if you're a podcast publisher and you meet maybe certain requirements, come on into our network. And I'll be sure to keep an eye on that. It seems like it makes sense to do that.
Yeah, everybody uses that app these days, so it would make sense for that to be a podcast aggregate.
So we have some big news to talk about. One of the, hey, speaking of e-commerce, Marcus, are you familiar with Shopify?
Yes. I've done many, many conversions from Shopify to WordPress.
So yesterday, Shopify made a big announcement where they announced that instead of just being a service, they were going to enter the WordPress market with an official plugin complete with three free WordPress themes, free for a limited time. Now, according to some market share data, let's see, Shopify only has about 8% of the e-commerce market, trailing WooCommerce at 31%, Magento at 19%, OpenCart at 11%, PrestaShop at 10%, and all others make up 13%. Now, the plugin is actually, it's a Shopify button. So it's intended for people who maybe already have a business set up on WordPress and they just want to sell a couple products using a buy button. It's not a full-fledged e-commerce solution like you would find in e-commerce where you could really set up your products in your store and create different variations of those items. Now it does, according to this news post written by Sarah Gooding, the plugin allows users to sell products that have already been added to their Shopify stores, but requires a $9 a month Shopify Lite subscription. So there you go. There's a couple of gotchas there that you got to look into. Now, at the time that this was published, their plugin was not on the WordPress.org plugin repository. So it was only available on GitHub, which left, you sort of have to weigh your options there, because if a security issue was discovered, they wouldn't have an easy way to update people's sites. You can't do that through GitHub. But after this post was published, Otto actually left a comment. He's one of the maintainers for WordPress.org and says that there's no real issue in getting approved on WordPress.org quickly. If you ask, you can email them plugins@WordPress.org. And they said that the team would be happy to work within your guidelines. So if you're like a Shopify or you're a big time company and you kind of want to maybe get through the higher priority access lane or get a quicker review, it's possible. The team might work with you. You just have to email them. So there you go. Shopify makes it pretty easy to sell a couple products, especially if you already have some set up on a Shopify store and you got the subscription. But there you go. Another entry into the WordPress e-commerce market.
Yes, and I will say this, and I'm actually going to talk about this plugin because I did get some hands-on experience with it because I do have a Shopify account. It's not the $9 one. I didn't know you could get it that cheap, but the thing is this. Everybody's like, I know the audience right now. They're half of them is probably going, well, I don't use that. I use WooCommerce or site developers or designers out there are going, what do I care about this? I like WordPress. This just opened the market for you in terms of people that have Shopify to be their entire website, right? You now have the ability to say, let's use Shopify for what it is, and now let's build you some content and actually get you to rank for some things and actually get some call to actions and talk about your company and your products and your services and what you offer and do all the other things that a typical WordPress website will do. And so this now bridges that gap that is sort of an official channel from Shopify that will get support from Shopify that allows them to still maintain their integrity of their e-commerce system that they use, whether that be because they hook it to their own QuickBooks or what, whatever it happens to be. There are reasons people like Shopify. It's because it's very easy to set up. It's very easy to get products in there, and it's very easy to go through the typical barrier to entry, which is setting up a merchant account and a credit card processing system and all of that stuff.
And I think many of the reasons you just mentioned are the same reasons why Automattic chose to do somewhat of a partnership or agreement with Shopify where they would allow users to select Shopify in order to do a bit of e-commerce on the WordPress.com sites because of that.
Mm-hmm. And so now this just built a bridge to, that other village of the Shopify people. And now they can start to get engaged in WordPress. Now they have a reason to. So if you're a Shopify person and you heard about the plugin and now you're going to try WordPress, welcome. We welcome you to the community. So
we're going to launch into our plugin picks of the week. In fact, our first plugin is Shopify. So why don't you describe your experience with it?
It was very simple to use. In fact, I was hooked in, installed this plugin and hooked into my Shopify system with my products in less than the time it would take me in WooCommerce just to have it create the pages for me without adding a stupid product or anything like that or any images or any of that stuff. So it was very, very quick in terms of deployment. It seemed a little bit slow in the connection, but it could have just been me and my own internal Wi-Fi that I had here at the house. Other than that, the interface was perfect. There are a couple aesthetic things that they could do to maybe fit in better with the theme. I know that they've got their own themes coming out, but they should really think about how to further integrate within, some of the themes that are already out there a little better. Anybody with some CSS chops can take care of that, but I thought it was a pretty good plugin. I mean, like I said, I think this is really that thing that can bridge the gap between a strict Shopify small business owner and getting them into WordPress. So I applaud that.
And when you hooked it in, so you already had some products set up on your Shopify account and this was just a bridge and you could connect them and then you could offer them on your WordPress site. So the products and stuff were already there. This was just, like you said, acted as a bridge to take those products already in Shopify, and now you can put a buy button to those products right on your WordPress site.
Right. Now, the thing is one of them had different sizes in terms of the product, and I didn't see that size variant come over with the Shopify, so you had to kind of set that up differently. But that was the only experience that I had that was negative about it. So, if I were to – I would rate it, 7 out of 10 for a first attempt, and it's not too bad.
Or in a plugin review, how many out of 5 stars?
3.5.
All right, not too shabby then.
Yeah. All right, so continuing on now with the commerce theme, we're going to talk about one called WooMaxMin for WooCommerce. And I wanted to mix it up here. This is something that's pretty cool. This is almost kind of a customer security thing as well. It allows you to set a minimum purchase threshold and a maximum purchase limit for your customers. And, you know, there's various usages for this, but I would say from, you know, a security issue, if you're selling $20 products, you don't want to have a $700 purchase that then gets charged back to your bank, you know, for some kind of fraud or something like that. So this is something very handy, kind of a ceiling and floor that you can put in terms of that. I like the minimum purchase thing too. So, you have to spend $100 in order to, I don't know, in order
to unlock a discount or something.
Well, it doesn't unlock, but it definitely prevents you from buying. So it's interesting. So that's called WooMax Min for WooCommerce. And then we've had the guys from Lifter LMS on the show. And then we talked about just recently how in their 2.0 version, they made it free. And this is one of the first extensions that has come to light. And this is actually called Lifter LMS WP. I guess it's WP Marketing Engine.
Darn. I was looking forward when I saw this in the notes. I was looking forward to hearing you pronounce it.
Yeah. And so WordPress Marketing Engine is another company, and they do kind of plugins that do marketing, like sort of like Infusionsoft or Customer Hub or Acton or one of those things would do in terms of triggers. So certain people do certain actions and then it triggers an email response or something like that. So what this does is now this works in conjunction with Lifter to track all of the participation that a student does. It drives the database automatically. You can incorporate their participation in terms of like sending them a badge or sending them, you know, a congratulations for getting through chapter 6 or whatever it happens to be. So you can even use it as a sales engine. So if you have different courses later on that are related to the courses that they've already taken, if you've got a full-blown course site that's individually priced in terms of the courses, this then can associate that via its marketing. So while it's not as powerful as something that I use like Infusionsoft, this is a very good kind of starting point in terms of if you got a really small market and a small participation level, this is a really good entry level for you to test those things out and test out your sales funnels and test out response rates when you're dealing with online education. I'm learning a ton about it because of the membership sites that I'm putting together. And this is just something I wanted to highlight in terms of you've got Lifter, now an open source education platform for WordPress that's now hooking into a marketing platform. And it's not exactly the direction that you would think that they would start in, but it really makes a lot of sense because Lifter typically does work with Infusionsoft and other platforms as well. So this really does make sense. And I'm happy to see that the guys from Lifter are starting to get some external participation by third parties in terms of developing extensions. So there it is, Lifter LMS WP Marketing Engine Extension. And those are my plugin picks of the week.
Yeah, speaking of Lifter LMS, I don't think we covered this on the show, but there's a bit of news. I think it was early this month in March or late February, but WP101, you know, the learning video-based learning site by Sean Hesketh, who we've had on the show before, they've actually migrated their content to the Lifter LMS. So now,
excellent.
So now, not only do you see videos, but you see additional content through their learning management system, of course, through Lifter, and you could get certificates and print them out, certificates of completion, and you could do all kinds of other stuff on the back end. And I have an account, I just haven't got around to checking it out yet, but basically they spent a lot of time, he spent a lot of time looking at all these various membership options and got some insight from Chris Lema. And WP101 serves more than 25,000 members, and out of all those options available, they decided on Lifter LMS. So another great nod of confidence and approval for Lifter.
And you've got to be very careful when you're doing online education, what you're going to pick as your platform. I'll give you a case in point.
I think Sean sort of highlighted that where he wishes he would have done things differently. And he mentioned that during the show. I forget which episode it was, but we did talk to him about that. You know, really being smart with what system you decide to go into and you go into for the long haul.
Well, I'll give you an example. The client project that I'm working on now, they are working through Mimbirium and Infusionsoft, and just using Mimbirium to be kind of a membership page gateway. And their courses are just video players. They use JW Player to play their, you know, video that gets streamed down from Amazon S3. So they have a drip campaign in Infusionsoft that basically divvies out a course per week. One page unlock per week. And the problem with that is now they're locked into that model because it's an 18-month course where they get something new every single week. And if we wanted to migrate to something like Lifter, that's not possible because the model is completely different than what Lifter has. So Lifter can give you kind of a buffet model. You can do prerequisites, but it can't say, okay, you can do this chapter and next week you can finally do this other chapter. And do it to where there are 1,000 students in the program and they can all, and you can migrate to the point where they can pick up where they left off in the old system. And that's a heck of an equation to have to crunch and figure out how it has to be done logistically. But if it didn't suck, they wouldn't pay me the big bucks to do it.
There you go. So that's going to do it for this episode of WordPress Weekly. You can find show notes for this episode and all previous episodes on WPTavern.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at Jeffro, JFFR0, Marcus.
And I just wanted to thank everybody who signed up to the early launch program over at membershipcoach.com. I got 50 people since last week, Jeff. So a lot of people have responded to that since I mentioned it on the show.
You had at least 90 then, because last time it was 40. Now you got 50.
Yeah. So it's higher than that. So it's nice. Now I'm saying 50 additional. So that's saying something. I wish we could get iTunes reviews that quickly. Jeez. but yeah, head on over to membershipcoach.com if you want to sign up for the pre-launch on that. You can find me at my website, marcuscouch.com, and you can follow me on Twitter at marcuscouch.
And tomorrow seems to be Luck of the Irish Day here in the U.S., or otherwise known as St. Patrick's Day. And
I thought it was Jeff Mattson Day. Darn. No.
I gotta laugh because no, it's St. Well. Oh, he does kind of look like a leprechaun with a long beard. You know, now that I think about it. But St. Patrick's Day in the U.S., so if you're going out, if you're celebrating or going to a parade, stay safe. Definitely watch out for the people who like to drink and drive. You can tell them blue in the face, don't do that, and they still do that. Marcus, you going to have any corned beef tomorrow?
I don't think so.
Right. I'm having me a Reuben tomorrow.
I don't even know where to get that here in California. What? I don't know.
Corned beef, sauerkraut, Swiss cheese, Thousand Island rye bread. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, maybe Costco will have something. Who knows?
Yeah, all the grocery stores should have it. I don't know. It's all the stores around here. I mean, you go to the meat section, there it is. There's the corned beef. There's the kraut. There's the cheese. Everything you need right there.
Maybe the butcher's got it. Maybe the same butcher that does the carne asada has it. I'll check with them.
Nice. So everybody enjoy the rest of your week. We don't have a guest scheduled for next Wednesday, but that's all subject to change. I'll see what I can do. And until then, stay safe. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday evening.